You are listening to The Riding, NFL DFS Podcast with Pat James.
Welcome, everybody, to The Riding, NFL DFS Podcast, Wild Card Edition 2022. Different than we've ever seen it, a six-game slate, but of course, DraftKings makes the featured slates each individual day. I wish all the big contests were for the full slate, but that is obviously not what is going to happen. Well, what we'll do is we'll talk a little bit of strategy in terms of lineup construction, and then I'm going to go game by game, and it's really the only way I can do it because I'm not a fan of going game by game. You know how we do it during the season. I just give you my top plays and rationale at each position. We try to, you know, come up with the best construction, etc. Because some people are probably going to be leaning towards the full game slate, and some people are going to be leaning towards playing each individual slate, I'm just going to talk about, you know, my favorite stacks, cash game plays, and pivots within each game. So basically what you can do is if you're playing the two-game slates, if you're playing the three-game slate, you can take that information and use it based on creating those lineups. If you're playing the full slate, you can take the information and use it based on creating those lineups. I will say that I'll probably be playing mostly the full slate. Some of the higher dollar single entry stuff is still decent in terms of contest size and payouts. So I'll probably lean that way, but I'll also obviously dabble, you know, never going to not dabble in the 2 and 3 game slates and obviously the showdowns in prime time. So that first game on Saturday is the Bengals and the Raiders. Obviously, you got to love the Joe Burrow double stacks, right? He's been crushing it all year with those double stacks. Burrow, Higgins, Chase, Burrow, Boyd, Higgins, Burrow, Boyd, Chase. Mix and match however you please, and then you can always run it back with a Hunter Renfrow with a Darren Waller. I even really like Zay Jones. He's gotten a good amount of usage on the outside from Carr. I do think that the Raiders are in a good spot here. I don't think I would play Carr unless like you're in the Millie Maker or something like that. But because I just don't think it's necessary. I think like if you're just going for an absolute dart throw at QB, maybe Carr, but not in single entry or higher dollar tournaments, anything like that. My one pivot in this game is going to be Josh Jacobs. So I don't think that I really like Jacobs. I think he's cheap. They're going to give him the ball. He's been catching passes out of the backfield. So I like using Jacobs. I think you could even use him as a bring back in this game. But I think because people are going to be using a lot of Burrow stacks, that Jacobs is going to go under owned. So I like just using Jacobs and fading the game completely in some lineups on the full slate. Obviously, if you're playing the two-game slate, you can't get away from it. He's a cash game play. He's probably a tournament play. And you just have to look for a little dart throw here or there, like CJ Uzama or something like that. But on the full slate, I do like using Jacobs solely from this game. Cash plays in this slate, obviously Joe Mixon. He's probably the best point per dollar running back on the slate for the full slate or just the Saturday slate. Other than that, I don't love too much for the full slate cash lineup. The night game on Saturday is the Bills and the Patriots. Obviously, you have to love the Josh Allen stacks. I am a little bit worried about Stephon Diggs. We know that Bill Belichick's MO is always to take away the top option. Sometimes he uses his best corner to do that. Sometimes he brackets, depending on where the player plays in the formation. A tad worried about Stephon Diggs, but I would play him in tournaments, because he's still Stephon Diggs. He could still, last week he should have scored twice, got one called back. So I don't mind Diggs, but you got to play those Allen single or doubles, really, because Allen can run the ball, right? So if the Bills score 4 touchdowns, Allen runs for 2 of them and throws the other 2 to Dawson Knox or something like that. You probably don't need anybody else from the Bills. I do think that, of course, Allen can throw the ball to multiple receivers, so you could double stack him with any combination of Diggs, Knox, Singletary, Beasley, Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis had 14 targets last week, was in my cash lineup, drove me up a wall. He caught three of them. But I do like that Allen stack. I think that the pivot play is going to be Damian Harris. You know, he's kind of expensive. He's kind of banged up still. But if you're looking to stack a different game and kind of get leverage on the Bills game, Harris is the pivot play for sure. In terms of cash, I think Singletary is 100% a cash game play on this slate for sure, on the Saturday slate for sure, and even on the six-game slate, Singletary can be slotted in. I think Allen can be used in cash. Don't know if you're really going to need him. Maybe, depending on if Manny Sanders, what the reports on his health are, maybe Gabe Davis in cash. Again, don't really love anybody from the Patriots in cash on the full slate. The early game on Sunday is the Bucks at the Eagles. Probably my favorite game on this slate because I think that both quarterbacks are in play. Obviously, Brady and Hurts. Both tight ends are in play. Gronk. Gronk's just been smashing. And especially now that there's no Godwin. There's no Cyril Grayson, unfortunately. You know, the track sprinter that we all thought was going to take us to the promised land last week. He's gone now. So, I mean, it's just, they're just depleted. It does look like Lenny will be back, though. So I do like Lenny in tournaments and in cash games on the Sunday slate. I think you probably can avoid Lenny in cash on the full slate. There's more options to go to there. But then the Eagles, man. I mean, Hurts with Devonta, with Dallas Goedert. We'll have to see what happens at running back for the Eagles, but not a huge fan of any Eagles running backs for the most part. I mean, unless there's only one healthy, then potentially we can get one of them in there. But, man, you just got to love that Brady, Evans, Gronk. But I also think that Tyler Johnson is in play, especially for cash if you need savings. Even before Cyril Grayson went out last week, Tyler Johnson was seeing a bunch of targets, so I like him. He's only 4K, especially on that full slate. You could slot him in there. Hopefully he goes like 4 for 60 or something like that. Gets you 10 DK points. Not a bad option for cash whatsoever. Tyler Johnson. The middle, the 4 p.m. game on Sunday is Dallas and San Francisco. Another game that I like. So these are my two favorite games in terms of stacking on the full slate. I think that, you know, Dak against this 49ers pass defense, he could really rip it up. The Cowboys offense just seems to be clicking. The Niners pass defense and secondary has been giving up a ton of yards. I could see Dak, Amari, CD, Dalton Schultz having a big game. Mix those guys up in your tournament exposure. For sure. And then you could bring it back with Debo, Kittle. I like Elijah Mitchell too. You know, the offensive players that are going to score in this game. I would advise you to, you know, if you're making 10, 12, 14 lineups, have a little bit of Dallas, San Fran exposure. I think Brandon Ayuk will probably be lower owned in this game. But my favorite play from this game is probably Cedric Wilson. And we saw when Michael Gallup went out a few weeks ago. I mean, Cedric Wilson just came in and he basically, every time he's gotten a chance, he has done well. And at least in terms of usage, he's done well, right? There's been games where he's gotten the targets and hasn't converted, but he looked awesome scoring 2 touchdowns last week. I think Ced Wilson is a cash play on the short slate, on the big slate, and I think he's a really nice tournament play, especially at his price. Lets you do a lot. Cedric Wilson, probably my favorite play from that Dallas 49ers game. Then we have the Chiefs and the Steelers. So this Chiefs and Steelers game and the Rams-Cardinals game, I think are going to be like super, super owned, right? Because number one, they have high totals. They're the best offenses for the most part. But also, they're the last two games on the slate. And if you've been around DFS long enough to remember the Sunday night hammer, the Monday night hammer, when the main slate in DFS spanned 2 days, or at least included the Sunday night game, the ownership on the players in the Sunday night and Monday night games were always inflated because you want to have somebody left, right? You don't want to be above the cash line and have nobody left and just watch your little circle drop back into the abyss and not win any money. So that's what's going to happen on the full game slate, I think. I think you're going to see a lot of ownership on this last game. I think you're going to see a lot of ownership on the Chiefs. What I like to do in that instance is, you know, I'm still going to have exposure to the Chiefs. I'm still going to have exposure to the Rams and Cardinals game. But I'm going to limit it to a point where they aren't my top stacks, right? We're going to go Bucks-Eagles. We're going to go Niners-Cowboys. We're going to go Bengals-Raiders. And I think that'll make my player pool unique. But from these games, obviously, the KC doubles. It's the playoffs, so we're going to see a higher concentration of the targets go to the best players. Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce will probably be targeted a bit more than they were in the regular season. Like, we're not going to see DeMarcus Robinson have a massive usage now in the playoffs. In fact, if you take a look, usually the Chiefs' usage of their ancillary pieces goes down when the playoffs start. Things kind of get more concentrated. So obviously Kelce, obviously Tyreek Hill. In cash, Deontay is an option. Najee's an option if he plays. I think they're going to be trailing. They're going to be peppering those guys with targets. You could see Najee catching like 5 or 6 passes. I could see Deontay Johnson catching like 12, to be honest. You know, that's like his ceiling, but definitely a possibility if they are trailing. Pivots in the game. I mean, maybe the KC running game, right? I don't think there'll be a ton of rostership on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Daryl Williams is really intriguing, especially if Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a little banged up. They know what they have in Daryl Williams. Daryl Williams has played well throughout a postseason for them. He's played well in certain games this year. Daryl Williams, depending on what the reports say about CEH, is very interesting as a pivot or as an add-on to a KC stack. And then in the Rams game, obviously, Stafford, Kupp. You can add in, Tyler Higbee would probably be my favorite second Ram. He's had a good amount of usage, more so than Odell or Van Jefferson over the last few weeks. And then on the other side, obviously, Kyler can run the ball. I mean, the Cardinals offense just has not impressed me over the course of the season. Like, they've had their moments, but it's just looked real stagnant. I think Chase Edmonds will be back, so that kind of cancels out the running backs. You know, Christian Kirk is up and down. The only guy that's really reliable in the Cardinals offense in terms of cash would be Zach Ertz. And then my pivot in this game is going to be Sony Michel. I don't love it, but, you know, if you stack up a game on Saturday or Sunday and just want Sony Michel, I think that's a really good leverage spot, and you would still keep somebody in that Monday night game to have a little bit of PMR left. I think, you know, make sure you keep anybody in the Monday game in your flex. If you have tournament teams that are lagging behind, right, you didn't have the right stack, but you're just outside the cash line, you know, swapping James Conner to Sony Michel or swapping Christian Kirk or even Cooper Kupp. If you think that, you know, there's going to be pretty high ownership on Cooper Kupp, which there probably will be, and you need to make up some ground, switch to Sony Michel. If Cooper Kupp goes, you know, 6 for 60, and Michel somehow lucks into the two touchdown night, you could pass some people out and get them in cash, etc. But overall, some things to think about on the full game slate, right? A 6-game slate. You don't necessarily have to do all this crazy stuff, like leave money on the table, play your defense versus your quarterback. Things that you would do on a 2-game slate, as I mentioned, like leave money on the table, play your defense against offensive players that you have, put in like a massive super stack where there's 7 players from one game and then only like the defense and 1 player from the next game. I would avoid that on the 6-game slate, especially if you're playing in like a really, really large field tournament, because you probably need to hit more ceilings in a 6-game tournament, whereas in a smaller slate, in a smaller field, you can like massively stack And as long as those pieces get 10, 12, 16 DK points, you're okay. Whereas on a six-game slate, there's enough wide receivers, running backs, tight ends, etc., that you're going to need the player from each game or the player from the majority of the games that hits their ceiling. Hopefully that makes sense. I did mention, you know, you have the option of late swapping now. After every single game, you can basically late swap after every game. I'm not saying that you should, but, you know, reevaluate after each game, obviously. And, you know, if you have a lineup that is not doing so hot and the only players you have left are chalk, you know, Cooper Kupp, Cedric Wilson, Dak Prescott, you know, you have four guys left, they're all chalk in your eyes, then you definitely want to, you know, change that up a little bit. On the contrary, if you have something very low-owned hit, right? Like, let's say you have, like, a Derek Carr double, right? Derek Carr, Hunter Renfrow, Darren Waller. And you bring it back with only Tyler Boyd on the other side, and that's what hits, right? Higgins disappoints, Chase disappoints, Mixon disappoints. Tyler Boyd hits. You had it with a Carr double stack, right? Now, you have four guys that are pretty low rostered. You can pivot in the other spots to chalkier players, right? Because you already have the pieces. You already have the 5% pieces that you need to hit. Now you can swap out and get guys like Cedric Wilson, like Rob Gronkowski, like Cooper Kupp in your lineup and make it a little bit more chalky, already knowing that you have the, you know, the low owned pieces you need to be unique that have hit. Okay, guys, that will do it for the Ride-In Wildcard Edition. Best of luck in all of your DFS contests and with all of your wild card wagers. See ya.